The first topic I'd like to talk about is simcha. Simcha means happiness. First of all, before we begin, what you have in front of you are some sample prayers in English. I know that your first language is generally Spanish, and many of these books have already been translated into Spanish. I'm going to look into it to see what's available and try to get it to you, Bezrat Hashem. But for now, if you'll have a chance, you'll look at this. There are a few beautiful samples of prayers regarding simcha, regarding teshuvah, regarding seeing the good in yourself and in every person, beautiful things here that I hope you'll have a chance to look at, Bezrat Hashem. This word simcha means happiness, joy. There are many religious people, and they'll say it's a nice thing, it's good, it's not the most important thing, it's important, everything's important, you know, but it's a good thing. I'd like to put an incredible emphasis on it now and to show how the entire religion, everything in Judaism, is plugged into this. And that this is one of the most important goals that we're trying to achieve in our connection to Hashem. There's a Gemara that says that the Shekhinah, the divine spirit of Hashem, will not associate with a person who is depressed, who is unhappy, is this only mitoch simcha shel mitzvah. When the person is in a state of joy and happiness of mitzvah, of good deeds, then Hashem can connect with that person. When a person chas v'shalom, lo aleinu, gets depressed, unhappy, sad, they need to know that it's a disconnect. I'm disconnecting from Hashem. And again, this is Gemara. This is not chassidut. This is not Kabbalah. This applies to everyone across the board in terms of recognizing how critical this is, how basic and critical this is. Now, let's talk about some of the most important elements in Judaism that all of us know about. Torah. You would ask many people, could you give me the purpose of creation in one word? Most Jews will say, Torah. Hashem created the world for the sake of the Torah, right? There's a pasuk about the Torah, a pasuk in Tehillim, which says, Pikudei Hashem Yesharim Mesamchei Lev. The instructions of Hashem, the mitzvot of Hashem, are all good, they're righteous, they bring joy to the heart. Mesamchei Lev. They fill the heart with happiness and joy. So the Torah is making it perfectly clear that this is what the Torah is about. This is what the mitzvot are about. They're supposed to bring joy to the heart. And if it's not doing that, if it's not making me happy, then maybe I don't know enough about it. I don't understand it enough. I don't realize it. Because the Torah makes it perfectly clear that this is what Torah is about. It brings joy and happiness to the heart. That's why we're told on Tisha B'Av, for example, we're not allowed to learn about 90% of the Torah is off limits. Not permitted to learn Chumash, a lot of Gemara, why? Because Tisha B'Av is a day when we're not depressed, because again, depression is a disconnect from Hashem, Chas V'Shalom. But on Tisha B'Av, we're limiting the Simcha to a certain degree. We're going into a certain very serious mode, because that's the day that the Beit HaMikdash was destroyed, the first Beit HaMikdash, the second Beit HaMikdash, World War I began, you know, many tragedies, terrible tragedies took place on that day. Before we continue, I forgot something spectacular. There's a pasuk, Or Zarua La Tzadik. There's a light that's planted and shines for the Tzadik. Ule Yishrei Lev Simcha. And for those who have a smooth heart with happiness, filled with joy and happiness. The Arizal, the Ari HaKadosh says that the two words, Lev Simcha, a happy heart, are bigimatria Shekhinah. The word Shekhinah, which means the divine presence of Hashem, the two words Lev Simcha. When I'm happy, I'm connected. Unhappy to the degree Chas V'Shalom that I'm unhappy, I'm disconnecting. I'm cutting wires. I'm disconnecting myself from the divine spirit of Hashem. Shin Chaf Yud Nun Hey, 385. Lev Simcha is 385, exactly.
Lev Simcha is 385?
Correct.
So it's correct. The same as the other one that you said the other day.
Exactly.
It's also related to Shekhinah.
Exactly. There's a pasuk, Ivdu et Hashem b'simcha. Serve Hashem b'simcha. Last week, on Shabbat, this past Shabbat, we read a parasha in the Torah, Kitavo. V'haya ki tavo el haaretz, you'll come to the land, and you'll have crops and everything, you'll bring bikurim, wonderful things. Then it says, and if you won't follow Hashem's path, if you'll choose to rebel, to go against Hashem, bang, 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 tochacha. Exactly. You're going to punish a whole pages of punishments. And then it says towards the end, and you know why all of this is going to happen? Not because you killed, or you cursed, or you're mechalel Shabbat. Tachat asher lo avadeta at Hashem Elokecha, because you did not serve Hashem, period. There should be a period there, because you didn't serve. That's not what it says. It continues. Because you did not serve Hashem b'simcha, with happiness, v'tuv levav, and a good-heartedness, merov kol, from all the blessings that you have, from all the good things that you have. So we see again the incredible emphasis on this, that a person does a mitzvah, he puts on tefillin, he gets a certain credit. He gets $1,000. If he wants to convert the 1,000 to a billion, he does it he thinks before he does this, that wow, this is a deposit in an account that's eternal. This is something that's generating profit. It doesn't stop. It's eternal. Anything I do in this world, physically, materialist, it has a limitation. I don't intend to live more than 120 years. My swimming pool, all the great, it's wonderful, but it's limited. Spirituality, unlimited, eternal. A mitzvah is eternal. That has to give, if a person believes that, if a person believes in Hashem, and believes that what I'm doing is something that Hashem taught us, wants us to do, and doing it, and by doing it I'm giving tremendous pleasure and satisfaction to Hashem, and it's helping me, and it's helping my wife and children, it's got to be done with genuine simcha. What's going to define how happy or how unhappy a person is when they're doing mitzvot is emunah, to the degree that a person believes. Because again, there's instant gratification, right? There are certain things that I get the pleasure right away. I get the reward right away. I put down $10 on this, and if it wins, I get $1,000. Boom, I saw success. In religion, it's usually not like that. Otherwise, there would be no free choice. Otherwise, everybody would. If you could see the results of your mitzvah or sin right away, there'd be no free choice. It wouldn't be a test at all. In order for us to really be tested, Hashem hides the reward and hides the punishment, usually. So now it takes an element of emunah, faith. The most basic statement of faith that we make in all of our prayers is showing that we... Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. That's why I say, I'm announcing to the whole Jewish nation, everybody, hear ye, listen. There's Hashem and He is one. There's only one Hashem, no idols, no others. Hashem Echad. If you look in a Sefer Torah, you'll see that two letters in that sentence are written large. In the word Shema, the ayin of Shema is written extra large, and the Dalid of Echad, and the Dalid of Echad. Those two letters are written large, which make the word aid. Aid means witness, to testify. That when a Jew makes this statement, Shema Yisrael, we're testifying to the oneness of Hashem, that we believe in Hashem. The Zohar HaKadosh says, what are the remaining letters? Let's take a look at the remaining letters. The word Shema, you have Shin Mem. The word Echad, you have Aleph Chet. They spell the word Esmach. I will be happy. There's a pasuk, Anochi Esmach b'Hashem. I am happy. What am I happy about? I'm happy with Hashem. We know that most people that are walking around today unhappy, people that are depressed or unhappy, one of the most basic reasons for it is, look what's going on. Look what's going on in the world. Look at that. This is no good in the world or in my world. Look what happened to me. Look at that. If a person doesn't believe in Hashem, or they don't believe in Hashem fully, they see things happen that they don't understand. They see things happen that seem terrible. And that gets a person depressed, upset. But if a person really knows that there's a captain to the ship, nothing is happening by itself. There's someone behind all of this.
Esmach.
Esmach. Aleph, Shin, Memchet. Esmach. And the Zohar HaKadosh says that the way that a person measures their faith in Hashem is by their joy with Hashem. Because if I knew that my daddy is the richest, smartest, biggest doctor, he's got every quality in the world, and out of all of his kids, he says he loves me the most. We say every Ashebachar Banu Mikol Hamim, that out of all the nations, he's chosen us, the Jewish people, to be especially close to him. If I know that, to the degree that I know that, there's no way in the world that I could be unhappy. I'm so lucky, I'm so blessed. You know, that the one who created and running the whole world, and again, he knows what he's doing. He does know it, and he knows much better than me. Can I make a plant? Can I create a flower? With all the technology we have today, so if I really want to be honest and look at things honestly, Hashem is bigger than bigger than bigger, so big. To the degree that I believe that and I know that, to that degree I'm walking around. When something happens that's great, that looks great, I'm happy. When something happens that doesn't look great, I'm happy because I know that He knows what He's doing.
That's a bigger
perk. Exactly. I had a certain deal and the deal fell through. And I lost XYZ. Baruch Hashem. What do you mean Baruch Hashem? Baruch Hashem because to me it looks like a loss. I'm interpreting this as a loss. This could end in some other way. Exactly. Or this might lead to something 100 times bigger. I gave the exit my rabbi with the house. He got the apartment and he was upset. And he found out that Hashem wanted, he thought this is a great apartment. Hashem gave him something 20 times as good, you know. To the degree that a person believes, the emunah, the more the emunah is stronger, the more the simcha is stronger and stronger. And the happier a person is, the more it strengthens their faith. These two are helping each other all the time. Now, we mentioned Torah. Now, what about prayer? When a person comes to pray to Hashem, what's the attitude supposed to be? Serious? I'm very serious. There's a pasuk, Hashem says, Vahaviotim el har kodshi, I will bring them to my holy mountain, Visimachtim beveit tefilati, and I will give them joy and happiness in my house of prayer. Crystal clear. The pasuk says very clear that a house of prayer is supposed to be a place where people are happy. They sing. The singing in the prayer, the joy and happiness in the prayer. That's an integral part of it. Without that, it's missing a very, very basic part of the prayer. A very basic piece.
You said you do it Hashem
Besicha. Exactly. The Beit HaMikdash, the Holy Temple, that's what it's called, Beit HaMikdash. When they went into the Beit HaMikdash, it says 3 times a year, you will come to see Hashem. Shalosh Paim Bashna Yerok Al Zechurcha, every male is obligated to come to see Hashem. How do you see Hashem?
In the joy of people, in the moment.
Samachta, exactly. How do you see it? Listen carefully. Let's touch the emunah point. When things are going on in a natural progression, we get up in the morning, the sun comes up, go at night, we see the sun setting. Right now it's summer season, we see it's warm. If we saw that it started snowing now, you see right now it's the 30th, if we saw it started snowing now, then all of those natural scientists would start scratching their heads and saying something's wrong. What happened to Mother Nature? What happened to the natural, so you know, that everybody knows that it's supposed to be this way, it's supposed to zig, and it's zagging, that kind of thing. Whenever there are miracles, miracle means a change in nature. The word hateva, which means nature, is bigimatria Elokim. Elokim is one of the names of Hashem, which means that the name of Hashem of judgment, of justice, that kind of thing. There's another name of Hashem, Yud Kei Vav Kei, which is the name of kindness, which supersedes, we want that to supersede the judgment. When things are going along in a very natural way, Hashem is sort of hidden, you don't see Him. And that's what makes it possible for so many people in the world not to believe. Because again, it looks to them as if there's Mother Nature and things, you know. when the minute Hashem grabs the wheel and makes a quick turn, you have autopilot. We know most planes that fly today, you hear the pilots. 8 hours of the flight, he's doing nothing. The computer is handling the whole plane. For landing and takeoff, in many cases, the pilot takes over because of different reasons. So when the world is going in autopilot, we don't see Hashem. Hashem is hidden. When miracles are happening, Hashem becomes much more apparent. When it came to the splitting of the Red Sea, Vayar Yisrael et hayad hagdola asher as Hashem, Vayiru et Hashem, Vayaminu b'Hashem uveMoshe avdo. That made them believe in Hashem and believe in Moshe Rabbeinu, right? Why? Because they saw suddenly the Red Sea splits into 12 lanes, a 12-lane highway, and gorgeous flowers and fruit are growing, and the Egyptians come in, and suddenly the water closes. They saw incredible miracles. In Pirkei Avot, it tells us that in the Beit HaMikdash, there were 10 miracles going on a constant basis. They were meat and blood and everything. You never saw a fly. The fire never went out, never existed. Miracles, at least 10 miracles. A person would go into the Beit HaMikdash, he would see Hashem. He saw all of these things that were definitely against the laws of nature, and that's what made him realize that there's something above nature. There's somebody who created nature and is maintaining nature and controlling nature, the one who created the world. And he has the option anytime he wants to override nature. That kind of thing. Like we said yesterday, Hashem lifted Avraham Avinu above the stars. This is what nature would dictate. There's someone above it. There's the boss of nature. That kind of thing. What does the Torah say? What do you do when you come to the Beit HaMikdash? It says about 10 times in Chumash, Usmachtem bekol mishlat yetchem. You will rejoice with every donation, every sacrifice you bring. V'samachta b'chagecha. If you look in Chumash, maybe 10 times. V'samachta, v'samachta. This is what Judaism is really all about. This is what Torah is. This is what Tefillah is. This is what the Beit HaMikdash is. It's all about genuine joy and happiness. And sometimes when that's missing in the religion, when people aren't aware of that and they don't know about it, that's what causes sometimes. Now, Shabbat. Shabbat. Simcha. Special foods, special wine, special clothes. We have my Shabbat clothes. Why? Because I'm happier. If I'm wearing my regular weekday clothes, I'm in a certain frame of mind. I go to a wedding. I'm going to a simcha. I get dressed up for the occasion, right? Shabbat holidays, there's a mitzvah to buy new clothes for the holiday, for the wife also, especially something new for the holiday, that kind of thing. Why? Simcha, simcha, simcha. Every part of Judaism, our connection to Hashem is always plugging into this simcha. It's an incredible thing. And here again, the concept of tzadikim, or zarua la tzadik, uliyisha, the concept of a true tzadik, part of how we're measuring that is his ability to be happy at all times and to be able to broadcast this simcha, to be able to show us how to be happy when things seem to be going well, and how to be happy. There's a pasuk, lahagid baboker chazdecha ve'emunatcha baleilot. That in the morning when the sun is shining, when it's light and great, we say, wow, chas chesed Hashem. At night when it's dark, we don't see the light. We don't see. What do? We shift gears. We go into emunah mode. I know that even though it's dark, even if it's dark, I believe that number one, soon it's going to get light. It gets dark, it gets darker and darker. I'm going through difficult times. I have faith. I believe that it's going to get light. I'm optimistic. And even in the darkness, I know I'm able to know maybe it's kapara, maybe it's only good. It's coming from Hashem, and Hashem is tov. We say in Ashrei, tov Hashem lakol. Hashem is good for everyone and for everything. Now let's take a look at this word tov. There's gematria, which you're familiar with. There's something called mispar katan. Mispar katan means breaking down numbers to their most basic elements. The number 10 is a 1 and a 0, right? How does it become 10? The answer is because this column is the units, this column is the tens, this is the hundreds. If I put a 1 over here, it becomes 100. If the 1 is over here, it's a 10. If the 1 is over here, it's a 1, right? So there's a form of gematria called mispar katan, where we drop the zeros. The Tikkuni Zohar, one of the deepest, deepest books, the part of the Zohar HaKadosh that's like the deepest secrets, 70 chapters on the word Bereshit, and works usually on mispar katan. If we take Hashem's name, Yud, K, Vav, K, Yud is 10. How much is it in mispar katan?
1.
1. Hey is 5, gives us 6. Vav is 6, another 6 gives us 12. And hey is 5 is 17, which is Tov. Tov means good. That's why the Pasuk says, Tov Hashem. Hashem is Tov. That's what he's really all about. Sometimes we understand it, sometimes we don't. Sometimes we see it, sometimes we don't. But to know that's what he's really all about. He's really good. And just like a parent to a child, sometimes a child will ask for something and a parent says no. And the child at that age interprets it as being something bad. The child gets older and realizes that it was a gift, it was a favor. If everything was yet just giving, giving, giving without any boundaries, the child never grows up to have the ability to handle a no in life. Person gets rejected from a job. They die. They'll kill themselves because they never knew what it is to know a right and a left. There's a right and a left. With the right hand, we bring close. With the left hand, to push away, to keep a safe distance. That's a healthy relationship. If it's all love and sugar, 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 we know is not sweet. It's destructive. It's when there's a balance, a healthy balance between the two, that's what's constructive. Any questions? We touched a little bit on the topic of simcha. There's a lot more to say. On my website, I gave you the cards on my website, I gave 24 shiurim, 24 lectures on the topic of simcha, going through the writings of Rabbi Nachman and his student of Rabbi Natan, 24 hours on the topic of simcha throughout all aspects of religion. Maybe before we leave, I'm going to add something, a cherry on top. Always have to put the cherry on top. We spoke about simcha shel mitzvah. Simcha when you... There's a story in the Torah that King David, Hashem, the first king of the Jewish people was Shaul HaMelech, King Saul, and there were a few mistakes that he made, and Hashem made a decision, time to change him. King David has to take over after him. And this was while King Shaul was still alive. Hashem spoke to the prophet because he let Hashem down on a few things. And the prophet went and spoke to King David and anointed him and everything. And now Shaul HaMelech ended up finding out about it. And he's jealous and he's angry. He has a son, Yehonatan. He wanted his son to take over. And he decides to kill him at one point. And he starts chasing with an army. And David HaMelech is running for his life. He's running for his life. And at one point he runs into the Philistines. He runs out of Israel. He runs into the land of the Philistines, thinking he's safer there. And they catch him. Who catches him? They recognize that he's the one who killed their idol, Goliath. They recognize him, and they grab him, they capture him. Now they're going to bring him to the king, and they're going to get a reward. Imagine what kind of reward. They captured the flag. They captured David HaMelech. He's stuck now. He's fit. No escape. He's in their land. How's he going to get out of this? Anybody remember what happened in the story? He put on a performance. He started acting crazy. He started acting nutty. He was in front. They bring him in front of the king. He wasn't in chains or anything. He starts drooling. He starts writing on the wall. The king takes one look at this guy and says, "We don't have enough crazies here. You brought us another one. Get this guy out of here." And they say, but can we get him out? Just get him out of here, period. And he ended up escaping. He ended up leaving and getting out. His life was saved.
The king didn't know who it was?
No. He didn't give him a chance to say who he... No, David HaMelech saw the situation. Emergency. He knew he's got to do something to get out. He started acting crazy, and that saved him. Now, this is in the Torah. If this weren't a storybook, it's cute. It happened a few thousand years ago. This is in the Torah, which means it has something to teach every one of us. What's the lesson in this? Rabbi Nachman's student writes that there are times when a person is really feeling strong and he can get simcha from learning Torah. He can get simcha from praying. He can get simcha from giving charity. There are times. But there are many times when a person is on such weak spiritually where it's not working. He doesn't feel a desire. He doesn't want to learn. He doesn't want to pray. What do you do then? What do you do? The answer is mili dishtuta, he calls it. Fun. Something fun. Fun means it's not a person, to one person fun means going to play ball, going to exercise, buying an ice cream. Each person on their level, something that's not intellectually stim, it's not, you know, it's not spiritual, but it's something that a person has to fall back on when there's an emergency, when the power of tum'ah, when the Yetzer Hara is so strong that it's blocking him, that if he's going to try to go head to head, no chance. If he's going to try, no, I'm going to sit down and learn. It's not going to do it for him at that time. At that point, the person has to switch sometimes to this mili dishtuta, to do something fun, do something within certain boundaries. When this doesn't give him permission to go against it, to itaref chas shem, or to break Shabbat, but to do something that's not within the realm of strict, that kind of thing, in order to use it as lighter fluid. Just like when a person wants to make a barbecue, I think you have this also everywhere in the world. Person goes to the store, he tells the guy, I want your best bricks. I want you to give me I want to make a barbecue, I'm going to be making steaks for 300 people, I need real good stuff. The guy says, okay, we got the ones for $100, these are $500, these are the best, the finest, everything. Great, here you go, $500, he goes home, he puts it in the grill and everything, and he lights a match to it, nothing happens. Another, 30 match, the guy says he cheated me, these don't light at all, zero, nothing at all. So the guy says, of course, you forgot. You got to use lighter fluid. You got to sprinkle some lighter fluid first and light some of the small things with that. It starts, and then that starts the coals really burning. And when the coals get white, that's when, boom, you got a fire. You could do 1,000 steaks on it. You're familiar with what, right?
Mm-hmm.
So the Torah, the tefillah, the mitzvot is the coals. That's the real source of the fire, the light. That's the real source, the food for the neshama. But sometimes a person will try to go straight to that and it won't work. The Gemara says that the rabbis would start their class with a joke. The rabbis of the Gemara would start with mili debdichus, a joke. And then that people would perk up, laugh a little bit. Okay, now shift gears. Now we go into serious one. Now we'll learn the halachot, this, that. We're human. We're human. We're not angels. We're not totally spiritual. We have a body and a soul. We need physical nourishment. We need to do something for the body, something. And a person would say, now what about if a person says, wow, why'd I spend the $500 on the coal? Stupid. I can buy 3 cans of lighter fluid and I'll have the best fire in the world. No way. The lighter fluid is just to start the thing going. It'll start it. From that, it kicks in, the coals get, and that's the real fire. One of the holy... What's the holiest day of the year?
Kippur.
Anybody else?
Purim.
You guys got everything. Baruch Hashem. You're right, and you're both right. Kippur is the natural answer. The Tikkuni Zohar says that Yom Kippurim, in the Chumash, it calls Yom Kippurim, it's a day that's almost like Purim. Purim is even a step above. Yom Kippur.
So we borrow a wine, Rabbi.
What do we do on Purim?
We are happy. We get dressed, drawn.
We put on costumes. We're crazy. Intelligent people. These are the Jewish people.
Yes.
We are people of universe. We are an educated people. They're sweet. They're making banging in the shahaman. They're doing concerts. Silly things. Purim is the day of Haman, Amalek. The Jews went up against their most powerful adversary, Haman. What did Haman want to do? He wanted to destroy the Jews completely. What does Haman want? He wants depression, sadness, because he knows that if a Jew is depressed, it's a disconnect from Hashem. How do we fight Amalek? How do we fight Haman? With happiness. Simcha to the extreme. We put on costume. People dress up in costumes. You bring me a gift. I give you a nonsense. You give. This is all fun. A type of mili d'shtusa that's on a very high spiritual level. This is to bring us to the real simcha. This is to prep us for the Torah, for the prayer, for the deepest, strongest connection to Hashem. Make sense? The word Purim, you guys like Gematrias and Rashi Tevot. My rabbi once told us that the word Purim shows that it covers, it's a composite of all the holidays put together. The Pei stands for Pesach. Pesach. The Vav, just a second, the Vav stands for Vesukot. The Resh is Rosh Hashanah. The Yud is Yom Kippur. And the Mem is Matan Torah. Shavuot is the day when Hashem gave us the Torah. Matan Torah. Showing that Purim is so special, that it's a composite. It's all the holidays rolled up into one. All the gifts. Vesukot. And Sukkot. Pesach, Vesukot, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, and the Mem is Matan Torah. The Zman Matan Toroteno, we call it. The Shavuot is called the day when
Hashem. With Chaf?
Yes, Chaf, with a Chaf, exactly. That's how, and everyone need, Rabbi Nachman writes, he wrote this 200 years ago, that nowadays, he said, everyone needs this. Everyone needs to know the secret of this Mili Dishtuta. That sometimes if you're going to try to be only serious and only strict, it's not, what do you mean? But that's the Shekhinah. You just simcha the Shekhinah. You're right. But because we are in such a low place now, because we're at the end of the Galut, we're at the bottom of the bottom now, you know, bottom of the bottom. If a Jew tries sometimes to jump straight to the Torah, can't do it. He'll fall. He's trying to jump to the top of the mountain one shot. He needs the lighter fluid. Lighter fluid, person takes a drink sometimes. Again, not three cups. Person takes a drink to perk up. On Shabbat, Friday night, we get the new soul. How do we bring it in? We make kiddush on a cup of wine. What does it do? It expands the mind a little bit. A little bit of wine expands the mind. Too much wine drowns the brain, floods the brain. It's like you're stepping on the accelerator car. You flood the engine, you kill the car. The car won't go. That's this lighter fluid, this mili d'shtuta sometimes that we need. And this is why it's so important to know how to make a joke and to appreciate a joke, to know again that the rabbis of the Gemara, we're talking about holy, holy people, they knew how to laugh. And they knew how to, and they appreciated a joke at the right time. Everything at the right time, at the right place, the right quantity, it's a beautiful thing. This is an introduction to the topic of Simcha. We have 23 hours more to go. Bezrat Hashem.
Go ahead, please. You just said a couple of drinks.
You mean on Purim? On Purim.
Is it like a...
Especially during
joke or something? We really need to get drunk and Haman and Mordechai.
Very good question. Very good question. The Gemara says that a person is required, chayav inish, a person is required, lebesumi. The word is lebesumi in Aramaic, which means to drink. Bepuria, on Purim, to a level where they cannot differentiate between Arur Haman and Baruch Mordechai. They can't tell the difference anymore between curse Haman and bless Mordechai.
So that's getting drunk.
That's getting drunk, exactly. The basic interpretation of that Gemara and that Halacha is getting drunk. The Gemara and the Shulchan Aruch say that if a person knows that if they get drunk, they will do things or say things that are crossing boundaries, that are crossing certain lines, they'll commit sins, they won't pray mincha, they won't pray, they'll lose themselves, or they'll insult people, or they'll throw up, they'll do things in an ugly chilul Hashem, then that person should not get drunk. What should they do? There's a few choices. One choice is to drink more, a little more than usual. A person who's used to on Friday night, one cup of wine they drink for Kiddush, and that's it. Or they'll drink another cup during the meal on Purim to drink a little bit more, to show that this is different. This is another level, another level. There's another rabbi that says that a person could fulfill this by drinking a little and then going to sleep. When a person goes to sleep, they don't know the difference between Arur Haman. This is actually in the halacha, written in the halacha, that's another way to fulfill this. In Breslov, many people get drunk on Purim, and I've seen with my own eyes, the things that come out of their mouths then are pearls of wisdom. These are people who, again, are so strong and so religious all year round that when they get drunk, it doesn't take them down, it takes them up. It takes them up. Some of them will start crying, Hashem, I love you so, I want to be better, I want to... Crying in a state of drunkenness. You know, men, you know, that kind of thing. There are some exceptions, you know, who are not on that level, who cross the line, that kind of thing. Each person has to know. That's why it's important to have a rabbi, it's important to have guidance, and it's important to know that in many cases, the halacha is, for him it could be a mitzvah. The same thing that for him is a mitzvah, for him could be a sin. The Torah is not exactly the same for everyone. There's a woman who's pregnant is not allowed to fast on certain times. On Tisha B'Av, she's allowed to fast this till midday, because she's endangering herself and the baby. For another person, it's a mitzvah to fast. For him, it's a sin to fast. You know, a person who chas v'shalom suddenly gets sick where their life is in danger, it's a mitzvah to break Shabbat, to take him to the hospital. The first one who jumps to do it gets the bigger mitzvah, that kind of thing. You need to know, the boundaries. Okay, we still have some time. We'll go into the other topic that I wanted to touch on. And again, there's more on it, which is there's a Rabbi Nachman of Breslov gave approximately 400 official classes during shiurim during his lifetime. And then whenever people were with him, there was always Divrei Torah, you know, that are documented also. Out of all the 400 shiurim that he gave, he said to his students that there's one of them that I want you to have this in your pocket at all times. This is the most important. And it's the title of it is Azamra, I Will Sing. It's based on a pasuk in Tehillim where David HaMelech says, Azamra lelokai be'odi. I sing to Hashem with my existence. I sing to Hashem. And Rabbi Nachman explains in this lesson that a person has to be able to judge everybody favorably. A person has to be able to look at every single person and be able to see something good in that person. There's nobody, just about nobody that's all bad. Everyone has some good in them. And our mission in dealing with people has to be to always know that and always be able to search and find what's good about that person. There's a pasuk that says about King Solomon, Vatarev Chochmat Shlomo, the wisdom that he was the smartest person in the whole world. So it says that the wisdom of Shlomo Melech was greater than everybody in the world. So one of the interpretations is his wisdom was great because his wisdom came from everybody in the world. He was able to learn from everybody. He knew that everyone has something unique, some unique goodness about it. Otherwise Hashem wouldn't have created them. If I have everything that you have, then why does Hashem need you? Once he created me, each one of us has a unique goodness, something special about us. The Gemara says about King David that there were two things that he couldn't figure out. What's the purpose for this? It seems like a total waste. A cow web, you know, when a spider spins a web, you know, that kind of thing, you know. That was one thing. And the second thing was people that are insane, insanity, craziness. And Hashem said, I'll show you that these are two things that are going to save your life. Your life is going to be saved. There was one time when he was running for his life from Shaul HaMelech, and he went into a cave, and Shaul HaMelech was not far behind. And Hashem sent a spider to spin a web around the entrance to the cave. So they came there, they saw that, they said, nobody's in here. Obviously, this web must have been here for a lot, nobody's in here. They went and they left. Had that web not been, you know what I mean, a spider web. Had that web not been there, they would have got in. Would have been the end. Would have been the end. Something as insignificant as a spider web saved his life. The second thing was insanity, craziness. The example we gave before. Like, why does Hashem need crazy people? The answer is everything has a place and a purpose. You know, otherwise Hashem wouldn't have created it. Now, if we're talking about people, human beings, every single person has good. And you need to be able to look for it and see it and recognize it. And then Rabbi Nachman says, and that goes for you too. There are certain times when a person uses the never word. I never had a good day. My marriage was never, all bad. A person sees things as all black. That's a mistake. It's a mistake. You know, a person has to be able to look and search and find good. And even if in the good that they find, the person says, you know, I didn't do a single mitzvah today. Yes, you did. You went to shul. You prayed. Yeah, but my prayer is nothing. My prayer has all, you know, all kinds of prayer. I was thinking all kinds of other things at the time. Everything. To look for the good, to look for the drop of good in it, because the ratio of good and bad isn't equal. There's a Gemara that says, Ma'at min ha'or doche harbe choshech. A little bit of light can dispel a lot of darkness. You have a room this size, big room, how many, 600 cubic feet, whatever it is. No light. Person takes a match and lights a match. And suddenly you can see, right? How large is the fire on the match? A half an inch, right? A little bit of light can dispel a tremendous amount of darkness. A mitzvah, there's a pasuk that says, Kiner mitzvah v'torah or. A candle, a mitzvah is a candle, and the Torah is light. The good is compared to light. The bad is compared to darkness. A drop of light, a drop of good, can outshine a million times the amount of darkness. And I'll give you an example that's perfect for now, Rosh Hashanah Kippur. There's a pasuk in the Navi that says that a person comes before the heavenly court, and there's angels there. There's good angels and bad angels. There's the angels that he created with his mitzvot, and the angels that he created with his sins. So the pasuk says, Im yesh alav malach echad mini elef. If a person has one out of 1,000 angels that's good, pida'ehu miredet shachas, that will save the person from going down to Gehinom. So now there are two opinions in the Gemara about this pasuk. One opinion says that this means if the person did 999 sins and one mitzvah, the one mitzvah can outweigh the 999 sins. The other rabbi says, no, you don't get it. If in the one mitzvah that he did, 999 mistakes, 999 parts bad, and one thousandth good, that can outweigh all the 1,000 negative angels and everything like that. Pida'eo mireh de'shachas. That's how Hashem looks at the Jewish people. That's how much Hashem is looking to swing things to the side of good. And He wants us to do the same thing. He wants us, when we're judging, when we're looking at a person, to always try to see the good, to find the good, and to connect to that. To connect to that. Now there's a pasuk that says, Od ma'at ve'en rasha, this is a pasuk in Tehillim, Od ma'at ve'en rasha, ve'bonanta al mekomo ve'enenu. A drop, a tiny drop, ma'at means a tiny drop, and he's not a rasha. And you'll look at his place, and he's not there anymore. And Rabbi Nachman explains, what does that mean? The minute we are able to look at a person who's bad, and we're able to find that drop of good, that od ma'at, in which he's not a rasha, you'll look at the place where he was before, you'll see he's no longer there. Because when we judge somebody favorably down here, we can actually change his record up there. we can actually push him over to the side of good because we judged him in a positive way over here. So that term, od ma'at, that little bit of good, od ma'at, that little bit of good. So Rabbi Nachman says, when a person looks and he finds one little bit of good, and then he finds another little bit, and he puts them together, you know what you get? You get a song. Those that are familiar with music, we hear a song, da-da-da-da-da. What is a song composed of? Individual notes. If you know how to read music, there's eight levels, octaves, and there's a dot here and a dot here, and then it goes down and it goes up. That's how a song is composed. It's composed of little dots that are going up and down, regulating the way the song works. He says, this is what King David means when he says, Azamra lelokai, I sing to Hashem, be'odi, with my ode. Which ode? With that little bit of good that I'm able to find in myself all the time. Whenever I'm getting down on myself, I'm feeling, wow, I didn't do this right, I didn't do that. If I stay there, then I'll just fail. I'll quit, I'll give up hope, chas v'shalom. I'll really lose. In order to save myself from falling into depression or from staying in failure mode, I must search for and find positive things in myself and positive things about my situation. How are things terrible? Things are terrible, then it's going to stay terrible. How are things? Could be better. Hashem says, could be better. I'll show you, could be worse too. Could be worse too. If a person understands in whatever situation they're in that could be worse, and they say, Baruch Hashem that I still have this. Baruch Hashem that I still have that. Baruch Hashem I have a wife. Baruch Hashem I have kids. There was a story with one of the great rabbis that he was super poor and didn't have food to give the kids. And the kids were crying, Daddy, can we have cereal? Can we have, you know? And the wife was so upset. She comes to her husband, look at our situation. Look at this. Look where we are. The kids can't eat. He looks at her and he says, you're right. You're right. But look how lucky we are. There are kings that pay thousands of dollars to get therapists in this, to get their children to eat. The kids don't want to eat. The kids don't have appetite. And they need thousands of that to try to get the kid to be willing to eat. Look how lucky we are that our kids have appetite, that they want to eat. You understand? To be able to look at every situation and be able to look for the good in it, to turn it around, to look at the positive in it. This is an incredible etzah, an incredible advice that can save a person, you know, from falling and really falling, from failure, and turn it around to a success. This azamra, that I sing, and this is what our prayers are all about. When we said about simcha, how can I be simcha? I wake up in the morning, I don't have this, and I don't have that, and this didn't work, and that door's closed. Well, the doors are closed. If you're in that mode, you won't be able to pray. You won't be able to. If you want to be able to pray, you got to first think a little bit and be able to look for the good things going on in yourself. I'm not all bad. There's no such thing as all bad. And my wife isn't all bad. And my kids are not. There's no one is all bad. To look for the good, you find those good points. That can become a song. That can give you the ability to be besimcha and to climb the ladder, to start climbing the ladder to success. This lesson that I just gave is a chapter in Rabbi Nachman's book. It's chapter 282. It's a famous chapter, you know, Azamra. I gave you a little bit of a taste of it. There's a lot in here, a lot more. Right now is we're completing today. Tonight, I'm traveling to the United States, Bezrat Hashem, a wedding of a very close friend, whole story that I had to be there. I wish I could be with you Sunday, Monday, too, next week also. A very close friend of mine is going to be here. His name is Rabbi Meir Elkabitz. We're friends for about 30 years. We study the same books. He's very good. And each person has their gifts. I hope you're going to benefit tremendously, Bezrat Hashem, next week from the things you'll learn from him also. Question?
The cherry?
The cherry on top?
You said...
The cherry for the simcha was where I mentioned that there's simcha, there's regular channels of simcha, Torah, Tefillah, Beit HaMikdash, this, that, but there's this other, there's the lighter fluid. There's Purim, which is higher than Yom Kippurim. There's knowing sometimes how to be able to make a joke, how to buy an ice cream, have a drink, something that when the regular channels aren't working, when trying to go straight to the Kedusha isn't going to work because the person's not there, because the situation is so dark. he knows that there's something higher than Kippur. It's called Purim. What's Purim? Cracking a joke, putting on a costume, any type of fun, kosher within the framework of fun, to be able. And again, a person comes home, sees his wife. You know, person's serious. He walks into the house with a serious face. It kills everything. He walks in with a smile. What about? I heard a joke or something. Wow, that's so cute. That's so, to be able to.
Beautiful.
I gave cards yesterday. You have my email address. You have a phone. If anybody wants to be in touch. And a major thank you to Jack for making all this happen.
Absolutely.